Welcome everyone to the Grats and Crafts podcast as Ben squeaks in chairs and
Hello Benno.
Oh, I'm Benno, okay. Hello.
Hello.
Benno for today.
We're in the Edington Arms in the beer garden. This wasn't here last time I come.
It's lovely.
Fucking nice. Lovely, isn't it?
Really nice.
It's always karaoke on in here, isn't it? Excellent. So we've been to GPW up at the Monaco. So we got into Inley about 12 o'clock, went to the Hare and Hounds. Any thoughts, Jeff?
One less dog. There's only one dog left in there. Very friendly dog. Nice pint. I did like the skiffle band that was going on.
Yeah, the Jack Russells, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Like a bit of a skiffly band, sort of like practicing the stuff. Very much 70s Americana, what were going on, you know, the horse with the old name, America, Eagles, that they were playing. Yeah. All the hits from back when I was a lad.
Yeah, which was ages ago.
I know, yeah.
No, it's a good place. Obviously, they got the sign with the four Jack Russells there, sadly. I think there's one left. But, no, the owner was asking us about where you're going today.
He knew. He said, are you going to the wrestling? Well, while you're here.
He said, I've not been there since Daddy and A-Stack shredded the boards.
Right, here's a fact for you. Big Daddy's second to last ever match was in the Monaco Ballroom in Hindley.
Was it?
He was, yeah.
Fucking hell. Who was he against?
RPD.
Who did it? RPD.
No, it was a tag match. It was against he was like Johnny Angel and somebody else, yeah. Johnny Angel, Ian McGregor, I think.
Fucking hell, McGregor.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
In the Monaco Ballroom.
Do you know the fact about the Monaco Ballroom?
Go on.
Next month, Katie Hopkins is playing there, doing a gig.
Katie Hopkins?
Yep. Stand-up, mate.
How's she become a stand-up comedian?
I don't know, mate.
Fucking hell, that must be some right...
That must be Andrew, where people laugh at her, not with her.
Yeah. That must be some right-wing shit going on there. Anyway, number two. It's a boat. It's a Lord Nelson. Any thoughts, Shauna, on the Lord of Nelson?
You didn't ask me about the Hare and Hound.
What do you think of the Hare and Hound?
Well, they didn't have any hares, so I think I should complain. Just one hound.
He had no hair on his head.
No, I liked it there. I liked the decor. There was all like pictures of him, but I like it.
I tell you what's incredible. a bastard in there, being a tall fella, is the low roof. You're always like... fucking Hunchback of Notre Dame walking through there. It's terrible. But it's a Five Lagers of Doom pub, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it is. Lord Nelson, yeah.
Oh, the Lord Nelson.
Getting confused already.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord Nelson, it's shaped like a ship and it's absolutely shit.
Yeah.
It's absolutely shit.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's hard to get into the place. We were nearly getting run over, weren't we, on that corner?
Yeah. Yeah. I did my old dad run just to get across the...
If I had by a fucking car, it would have done me a favour.
Yeah. So I would have said it would have saved me £5 odd each pint, but nah, I'd rather have you around you.
Think of the hand-me-down clothes you get.
Oh, the hand-me-down clothes are a bit excellent from our gym.
Once you get the blood out of them.
Next up, anyhow, Georgia Browns. Yeah, now, me and Ben last went in this place when I won the raffle of a tub of Quality Street, weren't it? I were handing out to the locals.
Ago, ten years.
8 years ago.
8 years ago.
Yeah. And I would say the decor in this place has... it's changed a lot. It's like a proper sports bar, what should be in Manchester, but it's in Hindley.
Very nice.
It's a lovely place, isn't it, Ben?
It's a nice pub, yeah. Been coming to this place, we used to go there after the shows, where it was just like a cheap place to get a pint, but it's a really nice place now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jeff, you enjoy this place?
Yes.
No, the back area where the snooker table were.
Well, it's funny how they had the different sports on for the different areas, weren't it? So it's like they had the football on in one area, they had the racing in the corner, and then you went to the back area where there's a pool table, they had snooker.
You all first went in and you decided to go and sit down in the corridor, basically. The corridor where there was like tables down one side, and I was like, why are we sitting here? Should we come this way? And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, we should.
Yeah.
It's like a mini version of the footage on off.
Yes, it was. Yes,
just
it
like
was.
With yeah. the big screen and like a little balcony where there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The football You've stuff. Never been in here, Benno, have you?
No, or never before. That
in your
remember,
time
yeah.
In England.
Yeah, really nice place though, yeah.
Would you come back?
Oh, I'd go back again there. Yeah. I think it's overtaken the Hindley Arms as the. Well, it's not even five lagers of doom. It has salt on. It has a bit of...
2.99 pints after 8 p.m. Yeah. Yeah.
2.99 pints? Yeah. Okay, now. Happy days. Matty, did you enjoy this place?
It was good. The mascot race was good.
Mascot race. You're racing UK.
I had to get that in. That was very, very good. Highlight, one of the highlights of the day, that.
I feel like people got seriously hurt, though.
Yeah, definitely.
They brought the screens round and took his hat off.
They
threatened him with a bolt gun.
They had to actually put him back into his costume. That was a funny thing.
It was an awful sight to see. You'd never see him run again. One of my favourites, that.
I just felt sorry when that Lego man got put down.
Yeah. Colin. Hello, Colin. I've not seen you for years.
Hello, mate.
Grapple Colin.
You wasn't in this place, were you?
What?
No. Georgia Browns?
No.
I don't think you were. No, you come to the core, weren't you? Yeah. Was Georgia Browns around when you come to GPW all them years ago?
I believe not.
Big fan of the core, though, aren't you?
Yeah, big fan.
Wade Barrett?
Good stable.
Man.
Very good stable.
The Londoners, Ewan and Dave. Any thoughts?
It was cheap. So I'm happy with that.
Everywhere's cheap.
I was going to say anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I paid a fiver for a Pepsi Max in the Clapham Grand the other night when I saw Simon Amstel.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Fucking well expensive.
Simon.
And it's close.
He's the one who had a go at Preston from the Ordinary Boys
that
back
was,
in the
that
day.
That was it.
Yeah.
Talked about Willies a lot in his act. But yeah, it was a nice bar, quite cheap, and I got to watch Arsenal put a couple of goals in against those Tottenham scum.
Shout out to Jim.
Oh, what was the cherry on top for you? Tottenham had a goal disallowed as well.
Oh, yes, yeah. I was fucking screaming.
Oh, you were like a dog with two dicks, you were.
We'll go into Core, which eventually...
What's it called?
Core. No, we'll get
into...
Go on, Georgia Browns. Sorry,
I disagree.
Sean.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Do you not like it?
No, it was very generic. Whoa. Yes, it was contemporary with glass and brick, but it had lots of horrible men in it. Not you lot. As well as you lot. They're horrible men who like sports.
What do the horrible men do?
They just look horrible. They're a horrible atmosphere. A
lot of Stone
and,
Island.
It was just generic. The decor, just bricks and glass. I preferred it in the Hare and Hound with the old fashioned decor.
Spending too much time around me and
who's
Jeff.
I feel like Judge Brown should be some historical figure and I want to have information on the walls about him.
The Core. Next. Not the Wade Barrett group.
Not the shit next to Spinner.
It's a good pub core, but it looks like it'd be better than it is. From the outside and the aesthetic, you think
it's
going to be a great
place,
selection.
Isn't it? Yeah.
But it's more than
outside, to be fair, isn't it? We don't like...
Yeah, but then beer-wise, it's like there's not much going on. My favourite thing about Core is last time you came to a show with us, Carl, like you didn't have your phone and you didn't know where we were, so you went into every single bar along that road until you found us in Core. Still shop, you found us.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it, Carl?
I did. I walked in and it was empty and I was worried I got the wrong place, but yeah, eventually found you guys. Yeah, nice. Very nice. Just a nice drink.
Like I've said with a couple of places in Inley, it's very much a Manchester type bar.
Yeah, definitely.
In Inley.
Yeah.
It's
good
place
of Urkel though.
Yeah, the Urkel was good. Matty, love it.
Oh, every time we come here we've got to go. That's
got like good weather in both times.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, right. Out in the back, yeah.
Sit with Alan Cheapshot.
Yeah, I'd associate that place with Alan.
I will say with Alan, he looks good with his hair up.
Oh, he always does.
Yeah. I think it suits him that.
Hair up square.
I nearly had the treble with Alan Cheapshot, the amount of name dropping he did. It was a regal. It was the Chris Hero. I was just waiting for FDR Bald. and he fucking pissed the bed. He didn't do it.
Ben. Cora.
Very nice. Yeah, very nice bar. It's
you got a free pint next time.
Yeah,
you?
It's taken me 10 years, but I finally filled in the core cask stamp card, so my next pint is free.
Finish the story.
It's
one,
you finished the 10 story. Years. One in 10 years.
Finish the story. Oh my god, he has put a picture up on his Twitter. Brilliant.
Adrenaline in my soul. That stamp card.
Here we go.
Fucking that stamp card would be as dry as a nun's crutch if it's been 10 years since you fucking started.
I've got to check my wallet, actually.
Next up was, Ben walking past R.I.P. Jones's bar. Now, we walked into this place once and then walked back out. Absolute dump back in the day. It's shut down, thankfully.
What?
It's nice of the owners
to hear
that.
Did we not go anywhere after court, though?
No, we didn't. We were going to go to the Inley, but the time ran out and we had to get in the venue of the Monaco Ballroom. Now, Ewan and Dave, you've never been this place before. You've travelled all the way up from London.
Yeah.
What's your impressions, Dave?
Very good venue, to be honest with you. Weirdly enough, I had a kind of a bit of a mythical kind of deal in my head because for many, many years, you know, it'd be that kind of venue that and GPW was that promotion that's kind of picked up on like the UK fan forum and the like. So for me, it's like, I do want to go up there. And it's like, I just kept putting off. Like 15 years later, here I am. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I was blown away by when I walked in. I just thought it was so grand and fantastic, and the sound was great. And I loved the benches as well. I thought
that's been a new thing for the past year because of the bongos bingo, isn't it?
I think it looked really good, to be honest with you. The bar looked well stocked. People was loving it.
Nothing on fucking tap.
Yeah, nothing on tap.
I mentioned that to Johnny when I saw him at Sod Pro. It's like, you got to get that on. Well, he said it's due to bongos bingo.
Fair enough. The ordering system was quite good as well, I thought, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You watched the bar and order something?
No, I used the QR code. Oh, okay. I didn't leave my seat at all, Ben.
Fair enough. Benno, you've wrestled in that venue.
Sadly.
How has it changed over the years, is it?
It's definitely, it's just nicer now. Like, so Carl's a good example. You haven't been, have you, since
the
benches?
No, since it's changed over, yeah. It's just,
and I think,
it's
like, I remember speaking to Johnny when we interviewed him for Grapple, and he was worried about the benches, and he was worried about the setup, but he shouldn't have been, because it completes the place. It makes it look fuller.
Yeah,
it's just a nicer, more formal setup. It's perfect as it is.
Yeah. Carl?
Just everything seemed bigger and more expensive, and the lighting and all the the haze over the ring and everything's nice.
We used to go with our mates from work, and they were always like, you know, we'd go to the pub on a Friday night, and it was like, right, we can go to the pub and there's a bar, but guess what? Turn around, there's gonna be wrestling going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that perfect place where, like you say, the bar, it's like a proper social club bar, and then a perfect space for wrestling at the same time. Best way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Matt? I joked there about you just wanting the beer on and more than the wrestlers there, but it is one of the best venues.
Yeah,
it really, and it always has been. 20 years. Yeah. It was the first time you went, like 2004.
Five.
Chris Hero, Claudio.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But there wasn't that in like a leisure centre as well, though.
They did some of those shows.
Yeah. I was there back then, but it is what the guys are saying from London. It is that type of, like you say, mythical place. Yeah. That, like, because it was always, you had some great shows back in the day, and you know.
Yeah.
It's good to be back there.
There weren't venues like that when they first started running there. It was a gem at the time, and obviously. Places run nightclubs and things like that now, and there's other options, but it's always been one of the
top ones. That's what it is. It's
very rare that you get a wrestling promotion that's been going, you know, as long as they have, in the same place.
That's it.
You know, even through all the changes and that, and that's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, because I think sometimes it's the place that makes the wrestling as well.
Yeah. It's like a Volk back in the day.
The vegan cafe with the title. Yeah. You know, it's their home, and it'll always will be.
It's the electric ballroom.
Sean.
Yeah, I always think it seems a really good venue. I brought someone with me who'd never been before to a show, and I thought it'd be a good one for him to go to, because like other places within, you know, the vicinity, maybe. I feel like it wouldn't have been as good.
No.
Because, like, you're a bit squashed in sometimes, aren't you, in certain venues? But it's just so open and nice. You've got the food there as an option as well. And you've got a good view wherever you sat, even if you're at the back. It's just,
one blocking
really nice.
You if you're standing in front of you. That's the thing
about it. The only thing against it, like we've said, is sort the fucking taps out and get some beer on.
Yeah.
So selling the cans, because I think we know it's like the venue know that they can make more money with the cans and not with the crap.
Because it's quicker serving as well.
That as well, but bollocks to that, get it on.
So let's get into the matches anyway. Sandy Beach with Sharky. versus Ian Skinner, who had he's got a great theme tune. Brum, 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 brum.
Brum, brum, brum,
brum, brum, brum, brum, brum.
Instantly memorable.
You enjoyed this one, Benno?
Yeah, I think this was almost the peak of the night. Like, that it was the
last start of the night.
Yeah. But it worked out well, obviously, with getting Sandy Beach at the end of the show as well. But I felt like it was the loudest the crowd were all night.
And the kids were brilliant.
Yeah, kids were loving Sandy Beach. And that's the thing, he's always done that gimmick there, but not anywhere else. And maybe there's a reason why he's so over there for that reason. But he's great, he's got so much to offer there, really. Yeah. And yeah, that was a really good match. It was great.
I think when you interviewed him for Fighting Spirit Magazine, about 5 years ago or something. It's been time, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And that was on your recommendation.
That's why he only works in
England. Well, Matt Brooks was the other one I interviewed, so yeah.
Have you heard about the Ogden crutch? When, seeing as we recommend someone, it goes to shit.
Kids love him though. Like, that was the biggest thing. Like, I was like focusing on the kids in the front row, and they were going wild for every little thing he did. Like, it's such a great, relatable gimmick for those kids. It's brilliant.
Carl, you enjoy this?
It was my first live match in a long time, and they made me care about an inflatable shark.
Whenever someone pops that shark,
he's got to be Mickey. He's got to be Mickey,
hasn't he? He should do an earthquake to where he's Damien. He should do that as well. It doesn't work, right. And then just
everybody thought it was a real shark.
Yeah, pops that shark.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Sean,
the kids are going wild. As Bruno said, it was a really good way to start the show.
Ian Skinner. Any thoughts?
Straight away, he comes out with his sunglasses and his furry coat. You think, Bardy. he was walking over the tables as well, wasn't he? And his entrance. That was quite a good.
Ian Skinner's doing this kind of like pure wrestling thing in like other promotions somewhere, like presenting himself as this kind of like
shooter.
Oh, yeah, exactly, shooter, pure wrestler type thing. This is what he should be doing. The fucking like strutting like a peacock, dressed like a twat, kind of
armadillos.
Yeah, that is what he should be doing.
Ewan?
I thought it was a decent match. I thought Sandy Beach is probably the better of the two. I think my only thing with Ian Skinner, I thought he started off doing a character then just forgot the character halfway through and just was a wrestler, and I didn't think he really reacted much to the crowd for me. I just felt like I agree with you what you were saying. The kids were fucking up for it, and it was great, and the noise was great. I just think Ian Skinner, I don't think he held up his end of the bargain for me.
Jeff?
Hiya. Yeah, it was fine. It was a decent opener, weren't it?
Where's he from, Ian's
going?
Plymouth.
He wrestled a lot in Scotland, and then I think he's very similar to Leighton Buzzard, where a lot of his work was in Scotland, and he's from down south.
On these shows, he wasn't a local, really, isn't
he? Yeah. I think he's based in like Bradford or Leeds or something now. Enjoying it?
It was fine.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah, it was decent. Got the kids involved. Obviously, Sandy Beach's gimmick. I've never seen Sandy live, so yeah, good stuff, to be honest with you. And I see Ewan's point about Ian Skinner. Like, he kind of got out of the gimmick a little bit halfway through the match, but nonetheless, it was fine. It served its purpose in getting the kids involved
yeah.
quite frankly. And that's sometimes what you have to do, just get the crowd going, especially the young ones.
I like Ben's shout of Skinner. Myself, I thought I enjoyed the shark spot. I thought that got the crowd into it. There was more. I think it was more. More based on character work than actual wrestling.
Yeah.
Do you think the crowd cares more about what happens to the shark?
Yes.
Than cares more about him.
No, I think they enjoy Sandy Beach. Yeah. And they also enjoy the shark.
It makes them go louder when the shark on the line.
When the shark's in peril, when he got
Daddy. Yeah.
What's your point, Andy?
Why
do you think we don't see Callum in more places? Because I'm very high on him. What is it?
So we used to see him at Future Shock, didn't we?
Yeah.
He gets a lick with Chris Ridgway.
I think like with anything with wrestling, it's if you're in the right circles and you can get the bookings that way. I think Callum Sandy Beach is a cracking wrestler and what have you. he's one of them unknown things. As we get into the net, we'll get into.
Andy, let me say.
Yeah.
I think it's probably sometimes on the wrestling.
Yeah. Oh no, it is. Yeah. I think we'll get into the next two people who, you know, are two of the Ogden Broken Toys. Yeah. Sandy Beach won with the face first DDT, which Matty loved that. Mate. Loved that finisher.
That was fucking yeah. I've even made notes about this, Matty.
Gareth
from off me, you know.
But I would say with Ian Skinner, I've seen him have better matches, but I think there is something there. Hmm. But I think he'll need time, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Next it's up,
dog shit.
No. Okay. Next up, Turkish Wolves, Soda Dursun versus, he's not Tom anymore, it's just Fellwell.
Hello, mate.
Benno.
Hello.
It's a tough one, this, isn't it?
Look, to the same point, like, you guys were big boosters of Tom Fellwell. I think, obviously, when I first saw him, the point. It's an old talking point now. Oh, he's the
third young
one.
Yeah.
We moved on past that. But have we moved on to a better place? I don't know. Based
on
tonight. Like, what's he wearing? Like, what's the gimmick he's going for now? I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Maybe I'm...
Straight away, I thought, this doesn't seem very babyface when he came out.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Get in there, Sean.
Yeah. So, Sonna came out first, and it was clearly... he was going to be a heel. So, you think, right, Thelwell's going to be a babyface, probably. Yeah. Comes out, the music... Mm. The gear,
yeah.
Like you say,
yeah.
That wasn't really.
The gear is awful. Sonna Dursun.
Like black.
Sonna Dursun comes out as a good guy.
Grey pants. Yeah.
Like, I don't know, and his attitude's a bit like. Ooh,
I didn't understand. What am I missing? What's the? What's
so,
he going for?
A lot of his character has been this Mancunian stallion thing. So he's a bit acting more like a chav.
Doing like the Mancunian stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to do the gay kid kind of thing for Manchester.
Yeah. I don't know. There is a great baby face in there.
Yeah.
I do think when he first started, as you know, we've blown the trumpet of him and what have you. But I think the gear, fucking hell.
Yeah, the gear was good.
I think I'll be honest with you.
Terrible.
Yeah, I just think
he's regressed.
He just regressed. He can't be arsed. From when we seen him, like I said, third young gun, he was a great baby face up, and it's just gone down the fucking toilet.
Do you remember the match at Tidal where it was like
I'm sorry to say that.
No, no, Brady, it was like 2019 when it was Fellwell getting the shit kicked out of him away from Luke. It was a tremendous baby face.
Yeah. That five way, wasn't it? Big T and
Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby, yeah. One of the only matches that show that hasn't been affected by fucking speaking out.
Jesus, yeah.
But yeah, Tom Fell was amazing. I've become a fan of him because of that match.
Yeah.
And then just since then, it's just, I don't know where he's gone. That gear is terrible.
He looks lost. He looks like that gimmick got over in one promotion and he's just made it his whole character.
Yeah.
And
it
doesn't fit.
But I always have that thing where, because he's with Danny Proper and them doing the fucking banterable stuff. And it's like, he's thinking, oh, that suits me well, but... He fucking doesn't.
In that particular faction, there's one guy, Danny Proper, and the other guy's behind him.
Yeah.
And he just feels like he's in the background.
Yeah.
You know, and wearing what you wear. And he's just so far removed from what we thought and how he's going to progress.
Basically what got him over in the first place.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, if he just pulled his socks up, he'd be back to being a great wrestler again.
Yeah,
I think if he pulled his socks up, he'd just have longer socks.
Also, Sonny Dursun's haircut.
He literally looked like a microphone. What's going on?
I thought he looked like Prince, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Just back off here.
Monday Night Raw.
It was this match that I had notes for. I say, Gareth rubbing off on me. The structure, this meat breaking a match.
Oh, the back break.
It was working on the back well, but it just missing out on that submission, wasn't it? Just to get the fans.
Yeah.
The back over the knee or the Boston Crab, just to get them back into it. And that's me being picky there, you know what I mean? But it was good work, good stuff.
Sonny Dursun is quality.
Yeah. Let's not get it wrong. It was a good match.
It was,
between two guys, but we have high hopes for both of them, and I think we're sorely missing out on what they could be more than what they are.
That's for your the dropkick earlier.
Oh, fucking hell, he dropped it in back of his head.
He fucking waffled him with that, didn't he? I don't think that was meant on purpose.
No. But he got him back after,
Party,
He enjoyed Cobb.
Come back.
Might have to plead the fifth. I think that was my piss break match.
Nice, he's fine. Dave.
Yeah, I thought it was like, I thought, to echo some of Matty's thoughts, actually, I thought there was some good like work on the back from Son and Erson. Yeah, I thought that was quite decent. But as Matty said, it lacked that it kind of follow-up into the submission or something to just work further on the back or get a tap out or something like that. Yeah. I mean, you guys have also waxed lyrical about Farewell as well. I think he's a guy that's kind of, yeah, just lost his sense of direction really recently, which, you know, it's a shame really, because, you know, we all know how talented he is. It's just finding that purpose, finding that direction, and I think crucially finding that motivation as well.
Yeah,
you know, because sometimes it's, you know, you can have a great gimmick, but if you're not asked, quite frankly, then it doesn't work at all.
That is spot on, Dave.
Spot on. 100%. So, Farewell beat Sonnedus and we cheeky roll up after the ref spotted Sonna trying to use her ults on it. You read your tweet there.
You tried to do a
sex
pin.
So next up now was a six person tag. First half main event as we had the Austins LA and Lana Austin and Joel Blazer versus, well, it was supposed to be Benno's former tag team partner Dylan Roberts and Jacob North with the massive thighs, fucking crush nuts them ones, and Steve Binman, which is one of the greatest wrestling names ever. But sadly, they got involved early before the bell started and got booted out and was replaced by Stephen Cross and Jack Johnson from Salford.
Salford.
Not a clue what's happening there.
So, Benno.
Hello.
I thought this was the best match of the opening half.
I think I preferred the opener. You love LA Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been your boy.
Just for the Road Dog thing. You know, the Road Dog resemblance.
He's a bit, yeah.
He's really good and he stands out.
Yeah. He's still, I'm surprised he can move so well still, you know, just like all the years he's been doing it. And he still moves around really, really good. Mm-hmm. And it's nice, crisp stuff he still does.
Benno, enjoy it.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I like the little angle with the misdirect at the start. I think my comments would be more on just I like the way GPW structure the shows where you get that first half main event, they build it up as like, this is your first half of the show, and then they do it again second half. So, yeah, it filled that role really, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Matty? Yeah, this was just shenanigans, this match, wasn't it? Before the match with the replacements and stuff.
What a beat down on the goodies, weren't it?
Preferred the first two matches of him, honest, but, you know, saved his purpose. Shenanigans.
Mm. Shiganigans, Shauna.
Which one are we on
now? The six-person tag.
I've been listening.
Thinking about Asda, have we walked past Asda?
Yeah, no, it's short, that
place. It was always an Asda.
I'm hungry. You and nothing to say about it.
Do I?
we'll go to you in a moment. Dave.
There's a tag out there.
Dave.
That was definitely a tag out.
The six-person tag.
I quite like this, actually. Just again, it was just chaos pretty much from start to finish. I really enjoyed it. It's like, I don't mind like just a standard like straight wrestling matchup, but sometimes a little bit of like unpredictability and a bit of chaos and stuff like that. I don't mind that at all, if I'm honest with you. I really enjoyed this one.
The last couple of shows here with the Austins, especially last time, weren't it? The tag against Chase Elcala and Mel Price was fucking great. Just like chaos all over.
Like the tag back into Shauna, who has something to say.
You mentioned Jacob's thighs.
Yeah.
they've been surpassed. Do you know who has the best thighs now?
Andy Ogden.
It's Mike DiVecchio.
Old David Stallone, Mike Awesome
Moveset. They could have a match. I would like to see that match, actually.
Tyler Bateman lost him at the Winter Stars.
Shall we go with Jeff?
if you're so inclined.
It was a bit of a weird setup for me, because obviously you're booking two wrestlers that you have to pay for, and they didn't do fuck all.
Yeah.
So that's £40 gone all straight up. the rest of it.
As if they're paying, for all 40 quid.
Go on.
20 quid each. Yeah. I was thinking £40 each. That's too much. Did I enjoy it? Yes. Yeah. I always enjoy L.A. Austin. He's one of them guys that's GPW centric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, first time I've ever seen L.A. Austin. He impressed me.
Same place all the time, you know. But yeah, he impresses me every time. He just goes hell for leather. Mm. He's no fucking fear, has he? Yeah. He's really fucking good.
Good setup. Yeah. Ben.
I thought this was fucking dog shit, to be honest.
Jesus.
No, I didn't understand what was even happening. That all these guys came out, then like half of them turned, like went back again. Then like some different guys came out again. I didn't understand what was even happening. I couldn't hear what was happening. I didn't see what was happening. Because we thought we were getting
Chris Kamara in this match. Then I don't know what's happening, John.
No, we had Jacob North and stuff, didn't we? Like turned up originally, then they cleared off again.
Yeah,
and then Steve Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson was very. I like him. He's really good because he's like very animated on the ring and stuff. He's just really good. But then the other guys came back out again at the end and just like played into the finish.
Yeah,
I thought. I've not got a clue what I've just seen for the past 20 minutes.
Tell you what, though, Andy, I'm looking forward to Blazer and Roberts. They've done well of like Blazer and Roberts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could say they built to that match well in that match and in the angle after this. I'll give them that.
Broadly, the same thoughts as Ben, but I would say in between, I thought it was a very good match. And I thought, I thought LA Austin was the Brit Rest Gringo Loco.
Jesus, that's
good.
You've been kind,
it
was shit.
No, I thought
it was fucking shit. That's a great old time, Ben. It's boring.
Well, yes, one raffle win, and it just becomes just arrogant.
This is Ben's notes. So Dylan Roberts, Stephen Cross, and Jack Johnson beat Joe Blazer, Lana Ross in LA Austin when Jacob North and Bin Man returned, and North hit the North to South DDT on Blazer, which I called.
Training 3 minutes.
19.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm
gonna
get it.
No. So I said to you, Matty, what a great finisher this manoeuvre is.
Yeah.
And it is a good finisher. Hit the North to South DDT on Blazer. I've no idea what is going on. Rio and jumping Jimmy Jackson running out to say the day after. I've no idea what's going on. Ben, you've no idea what's going on.
I had no idea. There was people running in, there was people just like fighting, there was just like dog shit going on everywhere.
I was waiting for Mike Track and Ian Field to run out.
Interval now as we have tickets from Ben. We'll get into his win.
Can I quickly mention, I felt very sorry for that little girl who had the figure stand fall over.
Whacked her straight on the...
I felt very sorry. Don't cry, Andy. She was in tears. Honestly, it was terrible. I saw it coming. It was like the fucking Titanic.
Yeah.
It just hit her in the head. I felt really sorry.
If wherever you are, I believe that the figure stand will fall on your head. Second half starting now with GPW British champion Mickey Barnes out, but he's not dressed to wrestle. And he calls everyone.
We live in Hindley now.
A mushroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Mickey Barnes here.
He's fine, brilliant.
Oh my god, this fellow's amazing.
Charisma's like just coming out of him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's the haircut, it's the outfit, but it's the promo as well, the way he cut the promo.
He was going on holiday in Benidorm, weren't he?
He's so good. The rap was great. Like, there's so
it was
much.
Great,
you can tell that he works, obviously, you know, doing like the camp shows and stuff like that. That comes out of him. He's such a character. He's exactly what you want on a show like this.
Yeah.
Like a guy like that. He's so good. So good.
How was it announced?
So we were supposed to be Mickey Barnes versus Matt Brooks, and then
it was like a.
That was the only bit that puzzled me a bit because I thought there was a match.
Like a match, and then it
drizzled out the way.
There was something to Jeff in the interval that I thought it was seven matches. I didn't do them, but three in the first half and three in the second. Four in the second half, it was a weird structure, my friends. It was like a weird structure, so that's. It was more of a promo segment, really. They should have just said it was a showdown rather than a match.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sorry, this is a grapple takeover. Andy's gone for a piss. We're in charge now, Matty. What do you want to talk about, mate? What's your finished grand of the day?
I got some salt and pepper chicken and chips, but
he
held the chicken and did ask him to.
I got a burger.
I'm doing that though, because that kind of, you know, goes with the competitive.
What about value for money?
Oh, the chips were lovely, to be fair.
It was £8.50, but I got a burger and chips, and they wanted more money for sauce on the burger.
I couldn't believe that, 20p for ketchup.
Yeah, pay a bit of sauce.
And they put that 49p card service charge on it, so it comes to £8.99.
I've got me and Dave 2 cans of Coke, and they've bought
on
45p charge.
Wow.
That's a good one.
No vinegar.
Oh yeah, no vinegar. Yeah.
Just chips.
Yeah, I got a little bit of salt in your box. Yeah, it wasn't. Wasn't.
And they dropped the fork on the
salt in your box.
I was hoping no one picked on that.
This is grapple after now.
We're gonna get grapple Andy cancelled again. Anyway, the match. Mickey Barnes.
We've been staying on track, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's not
going to cheat at all. No, but it should be said. How good was Mickey Barnes?
You don't believe? I've only seen him twice, and even in ring last time was great. This was even better.
Yeah.
And it's even a selling when he's taking the moves. Yes. It's like, it is that, as you say, working on the camp, but it works for a big guy. He's brilliant.
He understands how to work that crowd.
He's so good. Yeah. Big fan.
He shows ass.
He does show ass.
He does show ass because he hasn't got a belt on.
Yeah, there is that too. He looks like he got dressed in like Primark in the sale aisle. But like when you say Carl as well, like we used to see him as part of the Bad Lads, he's like a different human.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't even know it was the same guy.
Obviously a bit bigger, but he makes that work for his character. Yeah.
He seems more comfortable. As you say, over the years, he's probably picked up on the promo thing. Just hang on his every word.
He was the star of the show today, I thought.
It was just the control he had with the audience and the mic and everything like that.
Yeah.
He did, you know, he would let people chant little shit at him, but he would control it and throw it back at them. He just had the role, they had the room, sorry, in the palm of his hand, really.
Yeah,
100%, I'm not even joking. The first time I ever seen Mickey Barnes in any capacity whatsoever, and fucking hell, we really impressed.
You could offer something to any card, I think.
Oh, 100%, again, I think it was mentioned a minute ago, it's like he shows ass as well. He's not afraid to make himself look like a bit of a billock, which is a bit of Bane's false, like my sort of like what I'm concerned is like heels not showing their ass and not getting like any comeuppance. Yeah. Really annoys me, really. Yeah. Because
he should never ever, not that he's ever, it wasn't hinted, he had just never book him as a face ever. He's a career.
He's crazy. Yeah. You can imagine him in the ACP being managed by Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I get your point.
Every single one of you
at the
Bridlington Spa.
I'll see you there next month. Bank holiday, there you go.
Gotta say as well, Andy, like, not to leave it out, like, speaking of 80s, like, Matt Brooks, like, that man, even if you just want to talk about what he looks like he's Greek god, isn't he? Like,
I love his abs.
Yeah.
I love his hair as well.
Great voice,
very lustrous.
Always the thing with Matt Brooks is what the acoustics are in the venue, because knowing Britrest, the mics always break. That was always a problem in PCW. Sometimes it was great, and then sometimes the fucking, it was like Norman Collier.
Yeah. That's why Matt Brooks, when he works down south, works for Riot Cabaret.
Yeah.
So much better, because he's in an actual theatre type of capacity, and it works tremendously.
Matt Brooks is just great as an actor, what have you.
He's missing Von Erich, isn't he?
He could have been in that film.
Yeah.
But again, the only negative was it felt like a match had started and it just it kind of petered. They didn't didn't feel like they had a good ending to the segment.
Yeah.
It just felt like Matt just decided to leave.
I was like, oh, there's not a match.
Let's be clear here. Let Mickey Barnes go on like a Roman Reigns 4-year title run. They let him never lose.
But it's a setup for a match next time.
Let him never ever lose.
But it makes you want to see Mickey get his ass handed to him again.
That'll sell tickets for next month.
He's so good.
I'd like to see Mickey Barnes and Will Cruz as like the Brit-Rest natural disasters.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? He looks different. He's like a big heavyweight guy, and there isn't loads of guys like that, so he stands out before he even opens his mouth.
A lot of wrestlers nowadays are all middleweight guys, and they all have the same hairdo.
He looks the part.
That's optimistic. As soon as said, back in the day,
many skinny guys.
Shit.
Fucking hell, he actually looked pretty good there. Cass said did like Keith Lemon.
Did he have a blouse on though, Andy?
He did have a blouse on, yeah.
Maybe fancy a pot noodle.
That was a good chance. That was a good chance.
Yeah, pot noodle on his head. Next up, anyway, was DDL, Dangerous Damon Lee, versus Isaac North. No, no, we were on the 23, I think, and you know, 31.
Go to Matthew for this one, Andy. What did you say to me when Damon walked out?
I wrote Damon Lee, just like, I texted a couple of the guys who used to come to the shows, and it's like, 20 years in between. See, I've seen DDL wrestling.
20 years of DDL chance.
Yeah. But just echoing that building when no one's in there. Yeah. Like, it's just like, you can just hear it bouncing off the walls. But to be fair, with this match, I get what to do. Isaac North, I can't remember he's on the show last time. Building up to get a big win over
a former champion, a veteran,
and a legend in DDL, to be fair. Like,
yeah. I think Isaac North's pretty good. Like, a presence and everything. Yeah, yeah, I do like him. I know Ben did say bird poo on his face.
I like that. I like that it's just, you know, a bit of a throwback, like sort of a goth thing, just his entrance, his look, is just really, really interesting.
Throwback to Collision on Saturday.
I enjoyed the opening of it. I kind of got lost a bit and it tailed off, but the kids are really into DDL. Just every GPW show I go, the kids just chant DDL, really into him, support him.
But even good the match wasn't as great as the others.
No, a bit, I think they're like, a bit down near the crowd.
It's a big win, though, isn't it? It's a solid win. Yeah. Over, like,
That's what DDL should be doing.
That's like
2 hours later than
we should be.
Benno.
Yes, it exactly that. Like, it's exactly the spot that DDL should be in at this point. He's a reliable vet who can be gatekeeper for somebody like that who's moving up the card. So
it means something, doesn't it? A big win.
Yeah, totally, totally. And yeah, Damon's always been great, you know, and it's good to see he's still around.
Yeah, I'm just sort of to echo a lot of the thoughts on the table already. Very solid win for Isaac North. Never seen him. I've seen DDL maybe like many moons ago. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you want to do if you're building up someone. You want to have them over against a well-established, like, local legend, for lack of a better expression. Yeah, it served its purpose and served it fine as far as I was concerned.
Jeff?
Yeah, he just smashed through him, didn't he, really? Like, to be honest, it was a... It sounded very low-key, and I think the crowd were down on it as well. Correct. It was just, like, a bit quiet. Nothing taken away from Isaac North. I mean, he just smashed through DDL.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he just got over, like, another heel. Really.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah.
Which I think I said this earlier, was, like, a way... Because we're on about the main event, and... We thought, like, all the heels are tied up, sort of thing.
Mm.
You know, if like a babyface champion turned up, which it doesn't at the end, they sort of need 1, 2, or 3, and I think Isaac North may be one who they can use if, you know, say if they put the belt on Joey again or RPD.
They're building up to that as well. I mean, it's been a big month for Isaac North. Obviously, at the start of the month, he was singing Rhea Ripley's theme tune at WrestleMania.
Yeah, a bit motionless in white.
Motionless and shy. I thought the match was a bit bland, I've got to be honest with you. I didn't think much of it, but I understood the purpose of giving Isaac North the win over DDL and building him up as a bit of a monster. But I think it was just the crowd, because they were so tired. I think a lot of the kids, the energy was down with them as well.
Yeah.
I just think it sort of took away from it a little bit. Especially if the kids were into it, I maybe would have been a bit more into it as well, firstly. But all right.
Shauna?
I was looking forward to this match, but then Steve, the hairdresser, was talking to me for the whole match, so I don't really know.
Showing you off all the gimmicks for the Coronation Street fight in a week and a half.
But I'm a fan of both these guys. I do like to be able to cheer for DDL, which is good.
Yeah. Far cry from the days of the old chicken in a bin. Future shot.
And Isaac, he's always got that impressive look and presence. And I like him.
He won with the Omos Slam, according to Ben, who's not here at the moment. Pretty one-sided North on the move here. The only way he's up in North. Next up, football head, Chase Alcala of Foot My Life, Field Gold Limited, Media Limited, against Joey Hayes, who's probably got the best theme in GPW.
Ian Brown.
Ian Brown getting eye. Yeah. Absolute banger of a
thing. He's had that for like 20 years as well. Because I remember.
Well, he mixes up with cigarettes and alcohol. Oh, the Oasis theme in other places, but this is a tune.
It's a Hindley-centric tune.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that coming out anywhere else.
No. But he's another one, 20 years ago. DDL and Joey Hayes, they just stick in my mind.
Yeah. Colm?
I just love every bit of Dirk Feelgood talking. He's just such a good talker.
He's a good looking man as well.
He reminds me a little bit of what's his name? Kenny Loggins. You know, with his beard. And I like the 70s collar he's working at the moment. It's nice.
Bit of purple suit action as well.
He's so good.
He's had that suit for fucking years, hasn't he?
He's just got the one.
That's it, 3-10 by Kenny Loggins. So we obviously got Footloose Danger on. Has he got another? He's had a career for as long as fucking
the time. Let's get Spotify
what
we're talking about. I'll try
Dave.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. Christ alive, I've not seen Joey Hayes in years, and he's still.
What about Kenny Loggins?
I had Kenny Loggins, like that a week ago, actually.
Tommy Collar will come out to it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he come out to Danger though.
He did.
After Tom Cruise.
His top five on Spotify. It's Footloose, Danger Zone, Meet Me Halfway, Playing With The Boys, and Your Mama Don't Dance. Do you know any of them others?
That is probably from Top Gun, isn't it?
I'll give you those four of them.
I'll give you a clue. Three of them, no.
Christ love. Overall, good stuff. And again, talking about like guys I've not seen in ages, Dirk Feelgood as well. Saw him wrestle once down south in like 2007. Jesus Christ. And yeah, he's... I quite like his patter, to be honest. I quite like how he's become, actually, in all fairness. Yeah, overall, I quite enjoyed this one.
Jeff, any thoughts on in this one?
Who was it?
It was Joey Hayes against your mate, Football Ed.
I think, I'll be honest with you, lads, this second half... atmosphere-wise, it went downhill.
Yeah, the sugar wore off the Harry boats for the kids.
I was going to say,
they run out of sugar at half time for the kids and all that.
Yes.
Let's not talk about root rest like that.
oh my God.
Christ alive.
But it just felt like a match for me. Didn't feel like there was any consequence or anything like that. It just felt a match between two GPW regulars.
But there was a thing here where Feel Good Media Limited offered Joey Hayes a spot in their group. I was thinking that this might work into the main event where Joey's like, no. I'll turn you down now, but I'll change my mind in the main event and turn on RPD.
Yeah.
Which would have been a fresh thing to do.
Yeah.
Maybe, but...
Well, the thing is, lads...
It didn't happen.
Booking the show, it didn't happen.
It didn't. Ewan?
Very entertaining match. It reminded me a lot of a camp show kind of match, really. In a good way, though. I think... I thought Dirk Feelgood and Melanie Price are probably the highlights on the outside, to be honest with you. I thought they were very, very good.
We'll get into that win in a moment.
I thought it was a good match. It was entertaining stuff, to be honest with you.
Shauna.
My friend John hated Dirk.
Yeah.
He was the worst person all day, he thought. But that's what you want. You want to hate them, don't you? He's a heel manager.
That's what I want to see. I want to see.
Oh yeah, all the belt.
I don't want to see, but I want to see
the belt. The belt in the fridge.
Enjoy the match.
A succulent GPW match. Enjoying
the wrestling match.
Ben, you enjoyed the.
I wasn't here, but I agree with that.
The Joey and Chase O'Kelly enjoy it.
I agree.
You agree. Good luck. Fuck my life, beat down Joey after, Joey won and then...
Why doesn't wear his school uniform anymore?
Yeah. FML beat down Joey after, until Martin Kirby come out for the save. Two mates pissing about, I thought, from PCW area.
I have still got one of the plastic bags. I have still got one of them plastic bags.
Sing about Martin.
Sing about loving. Sing about peace all around the world.
Yeah. Next up. Raffle number 276 over here.
Next 10 minutes on this, Ben.
Ben won the raffle, didn't you, Ben?
So next up, there was some kind of like a raffle where, you know, there's like all lots of numbers in like a bag, and they pick one out to be a winner and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like the chances of winning, there could be like literally 200 to 1, literally in there.
Yeah.
Like 300 to 1, I would say, yeah. But Andrew, tell me, who won?
You, Ben.
What did you win, Ben? What
just look at him there in front of a fire exit.
That was a terrible puzzle. She just like goes, bench.
So he won a Triple H figure. So you can get rid of that in about 3 months when he gets sent down. And
Triple H in a suit. Triple H in a suit.
And also a WWE toy belt. Good lad. I'll tell you what. The prizes have really improved.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got better than a box of chocolates. Third prize used to be a box of chocolates.
The number one prize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At half time, though, me, Matty, and Ben were looking at the figures, and there were some interesting faces, weren't there?
Physical.
Attached on bodies. Yeah. Chad Gable, long game, is it almost?
Yeah. What's it, Prince Albert with the fucking.
You say about the rest of them, Prince Albert.
Well, that's a really rare figure of George Animal Steel that actually comes with actual hair on his
head.
It's disgusting.
Like that old Doink the Clown hair. Yeah. I had that one, yeah, and you know what? He lost a hair versus hair match and I had to cut his hair. Yeah.
Knowing
my wrestling for Federation.
And I was going to say we missed that one then,
Ben. Next up was the. It's time for your main event.
All right, then.
No problem.
The anticipation killing me.
Yeah. I've not perfected the Francesca voice yet, so I just stick with Quilden. So next up, the main event was the champion Sam Gradwell versus everywhere he goes, watching RP Davis putting on the show. RP Davis, the challenger. Will he finish the story? Let's find out, Benno.
It's
GBW in it, so the answer's no, because there's another story to be told.
Yes.
I absolutely love the main event. Like, I think they were definitely. It felt like there was a little moment, like, into it, because this is GBW. They do those epic main event style matches that, like, yes, for the first 10 minutes or so, it felt a little bit like, oh, the crowd with them here. And you could see Gradwell kind of almost trying to force the crowd into it with some of his crowd work. Like, he knows those tips and tricks. But, like, once they got over that hump and they got into that finishing stretch, like, people were with them. It felt like a big-time main event.
Yeah.
I'll let you talk about the finish, because you were the one to kind of point it out. That was so well done as well.
For the first time in history, GPW have started doing actual promos before an actual show. Mm. And in the sit-down interview with Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor who's on commentary, which I did point out to Matty when him and what's it called, Kev, was sharing a microphone, and he looked like one of like a beard trimmer.
Yeah, could do with a second mic there, couldn't
he? Yeah, it's fucking just funny. But
Rob is his name. Yeah,
the actual interview and. Because RP Davis had to, like, you know, quit boxing for a medical injury. I think, like, through concussion and all that.
Yeah.
that was a little nugget what they played into the finish. I was like, fucking yes.
But it was
all
the perfect way to do it, wasn't it? Because you had your baby face. Like, exactly. It felt like your big crown.
He was ready to win, weren't he, with the falling out of bed
right
elbow.
There, he's on the top rope, and then he does the Shawn Michaels 1985 cell.
Yeah.
Where it's like the concussion cell to the outside, and then... You know, Sam obviously being the heel takes immediate advantage of it and wins.
Yeah.
And it was such a creative way to get to that point where we're not actually going to put RPD over it over here, but he's still going to look good. Sam Gradwell looks like a killer. Oh, it was genius, and I didn't know about that little nugget from the video until you pointed that out.
You can go to that back in like 6 months time and like three shows because obviously set up to Sandy Beach, we're going to talk about. But in the meantime, while he's recovering. That's the big one you go to, is the bell. It protects everyone.
And he got beat down as well after the match.
He was like a killer after it. We've seen like Johnny, the only thing involved,
Gradwell,
which was great as well.
Yeah.
Built and made it more serious, didn't it, as well?
Exactly. Gradwell's WWE experience, though, just makes him, he just jumps.
You can just tell.
Jumps off, not the screen, but like from the ring, that like you can just 100%. See. That's a guy who's got more seasoning than anyone else.
He was one of the ones out of NXT UK. I'd always say, because I was one of the only two watchers, me and Ian Hamilton every week. And he was one of the ones who just found a little bit with it. And, you know, we do like backstage segments and made a character out of himself through that.
Yeah.
And
forced his way through, really, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he's... He's one of them wrestlers, Gradwell, who is probably not in the right circles, but he shits over about 95% of Brit wrestling.
He's a cut above, definitely.
Yeah.
He's intense as well.
The thing we always used to hear was like Regal was a big fan of him, and that's why he ended up where he ended up.
Yeah.
So he had that supporter, but yeah, you're right, he's not.
Yeah.
He doesn't fit in with the
rest of the fashionable.
But he's so good. He's so good. You just hope there's got to be a place for him somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't even say where, but like there's got to be something.
I've said before, Gradwell is the best unsigned British wrestler in the entire UK.
Yeah.
I think he is. There's no one that's not signed somewhere that's better than Sam Gradwell.
Yeah.
And if someone says there is, I'm going to fight them for it because he is. He's there's no one better than Sam Gradwell.
I think as well for myself, I think he's someone you could easily slot into a Red Pro.
He'd be
a good fit.
Yeah.
As
he's not less styles wrestler.
If Luke Jacobs wins that belt in the copper box, you could give him a little feud with Sam Gradwell, and I think that would
I think somewhere like Grand Pro, like Tidal, would do Luke Jacobs versus Gradwell. They'd do that well.
Mm. Yeah.
I think his problem is, like, the positive is that he's got that shine from being in WWE, but unlike the other WWE NXT UK guys, that's really all people know him from. So if, like, Eddie Dennis turns up in Rev Pro tomorrow, you're like, well, that's Eddie Dennis. He's got, like, other things going on.
Yeah, and he had also a story career before that.
Sam Gradwell,
Nina Sands is one as well.
Yeah. He's got such an NXT UK, not stink attached to him, but like stigma attached to him, so it's tough.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because
it's a fucking uphill battle, isn't it?
Yeah. It should be because he's so good.
Cole, this match.
Really love this one. It was the one that had me attention for the most. Just Sam coming out really aggressive from the start, and it's echo what Matt had said about laying everything in really nastily, and he looks so much bigger than life than everybody else. He looks like a pro wrestler, imagine.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like that much bigger than everybody.
Everyone's a good Nick, but he just looks different. He
looks in shape.
He looks like proper though. Yeah. Really is.
Matt.
Oh, I loved it, yeah. And when I'd seen the thing and I didn't get to watch that, but you were filling me in on it, and it made perfect sense, and like we said before.
And I was stood there with you, I'm thinking, fucking hell,
ballistic. And that, it looked off of me because I was like, what's going on? Explained it.
Yeah.
As we said, it just
built back
for next time.
Obviously, we're like on grapple, like with like the bloodline thing, story, but
and also get this is what you do. You
when
you
has meaning,
first, but
when stuff has meaning and what have you, and just little nuggets here and there.
But that was the protection of everyone. We've said it, I've said it. That is what it was about this. You go back to that rematch, and it just makes perfect sense. you can overcome this.
Because he'll go up to the top and people will think it'll fucking happen again.
That was Ospreay's gimmick. Do you remember that, like, from back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was like he's scared to go to the top rope again. Like, if he made this thing, you could do something there.
You could have when he's going on a squash match and it kind of happened. You can do loads of things with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you
think negative, I'll say
it. It was like, do you remember Ospreay at the Super Strong Style?
Eventually, he just overcame the old thing and just, like,
really well booked.
I was going to say, the only negative was it was very clear RPD wasn't winning because his fan base wasn't there. Yeah. And Grabo pointed that out, didn't he, at the start of the match? That kind of gave the game away a little bit.
We got his new song over, putting on a show. Yeah. Thanks to Rochdale FC.
But the angle after as well was good.
I was going
to
say,
just give it that little
I was thinking, it's either going to be heresy, Johnny, going against Grabo, because they've had fucking beef in the past.
Yeah.
Or he was bringing old Mark Koldiak back from Dutch Pro Wrestling. I want the return of Mark Koldiak.
Did you describe what actually happened after
that? Yeah, so what's it? Oh, Grandwell won with the thunderstorm after the incident with that.
As soon as the bell was over,
just laid it in, didn't it?
The head to, like,
and then all the baby faces ran in. Yeah. This fucking great angle.
He backed off, didn't he, as if
he battered all the baby faces. Then Johnny come in.
Threw the belt
at him, which I thought was a great, great little spot.
And then afterwards, turned us back on him.
I was thinking it was going to.
That moment where we're all thinking, oh, it's coming, it doesn't.
But that will come. I think that's how you do it, don't you? Go down the line. After the Sandy Beach match, he lays into him. Johnny comes out again.
There's
a bit of a thing. Then you have a big angle where he beats the hell out of Johnny, and that's where RPD will make the save.
That makes perfect sense.
I noticed at the end when Sandy Beach hit the springboard clothesline, Brannigan was just going, yes, do it, go on.
I'll tell you,
I fucking love this match. Great stuff, to be honest with you. I mean, back in his NXT UK days, Sam Gradwell wasn't one of my favourites. I'll be the first to admit that. But Christ alive, he's become a different wrestler. He's one of those guys where it's clear that time in NXT UK really improved him.
Seasoned him.
Absolutely.
Can I just say as well, like you say about Mickey Barnes before, angle, that's classic GPW and the fact that they do them types of angles. But to me, this was classic GPW with a fact of seriousness, like proper getting this it over. That was the class. Why I used to like coming to these shows.
Was heresy doing these angles with not a great name, but bubblegum, like those types of angles, and it felt like that.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect one night story in that, like we said, the opener match, Sandy Beach felt to me like the most over babyface on the show. Did all the kids in the crowd want to see? He'd be the guy that stands up to the big bad.
100%.
Good point.
Like I said, I love this match. The great storytelling, great execution, and RPD. You know, if he gets a second bite at the cherry, there's just that little bit of doubt. Like in the event of a rematch, there's that little bit of doubt.
That bloody top rope elbow when he goes up next time, you'll be thinking, "Fucking
exactly,
do it."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
when he's fucking out so the crowd up,
that's it.
Be like two cold Scorpio, cocking the air.
There's so many great layers to it. Loved it, absolutely loved it. Good stuff.
Well, I just think you've fucking Grand Pro's booking for the next 6 months, lads. You give the story away. If you go left, they're going to go right.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, everybody expecting finish the story, RPD wins, and they went the other way.
That's when you realise the book isn't finished.
I think Dal was in my head as well. Like I'm thinking, I don't think he'll win.
It's just the end of the chapter, as it were.
There's one thing we need to say though is let's get away from stories and chapters and verses and all this bullshit. You know what I mean? Let's just see how things go. Let's not bookend things, etc. You know.
Me and Yuan can't get away from it because we do see wrestling every now and again in the library, so...
That's true.
I will see you in the ballroom for chapter 7.
I
say though, I went to this show because I was thinking RPD was going to win the title, but then I didn't think there was any... When it was in the match, I thought myself, I don't think he's winning it, but what I was given was quite a pleasant surprise because I was...
His
match was fantastic. And Sam Gradwell could have cheated at any point during this match, and he didn't. He went on after he went after an easy target, and he was the better wrestler. That's what made him so good. And I think
exactly.
So like, yeah. I've not seen a ton of Sam Gradwell. I know you guys sort of do call him the best unsigned UK wrestler. I can't say that with any confidence, only because I don't see him often.
Yeah.
But I was I was so impressed with him today. Yeah. I will say
who are you going to say? Who's the best unsigned wrestler in your Nina Samuels.
It'd be like Nina Samuels, Oku, Luke Jacobs.
Oku's a fair shout.
Like Robbie X, if you've got more wins.
Robbie X is.
Jobby X. Mother Layton said that. Yeah, I thought this match was fantastic. Yeah, honestly, I'm so impressed with it. And I think he got the crowd into it. And you know, just next time when RPD faces St. Gradwell, when he finally hits what he's going to hit off the top rope. That'll be the killer blow to
find
him off.
Yeah. Just thinking about it, it's really good to.
When they book the rematch, I would be back in Wigan.
It's nice to have, you know, thinking what's happening. No, but it's nice to have thoughts about what's going to happen next, and that's what wrestling should be about.
If a show can't be good, a show should be interesting.
Even if you can
have a show with six wall-to-wall bangers. 4 stars every match or whatever, or you can walk out of a show thinking, I can't wait to see what happens next, I need to be at the next show.
Intrigue.
Which, to be honest, not to go off a tangent, when AEW have like four-star matches every fucking Dynamite, people forget them the next day.
That's it. Yeah. You know, if they had like four, like 3.25, 3.5-star matches, but there was some intrigue, like they're intertwined in the matches, it would make those episodes week by week so much more interesting.
You can watch a 4-star match every week, you don't see a story told really well every week.
Like, it's a bit like, you know, the steak and steak sauce kind of argument, isn't it? You can have steak all the time, but it's just.
There's got to be that actual.
You've got to have that sizzle. You've got to have that sauce to it.
And the pepper as well.
Absolutely.
100%.
Scrangle.
My favourite scrangle was when that fish got battered.
Yeah. Anyhow, that's the Gradwell won, and then Sandy Beach come out, set up the next show basically, the next baby face to face Gradwell. Mm-hmm. I think crowd went home happy.
That's a good thing.
It gets you in for the next show.
Episodic wrestling. Yeah. For me, it was like, you know, you go to that venue and, you know, being called up in leaner years for GPW. And you go now, and it's like since that comeback, like they're filling the place again.
Yeah.
And it's full of families who are excited to be there and to see.
It's not MegaSlam. MegaSlam have the same thing, but it's.
There's a big difference there.
There's a difference.
MegaSlam is scorched there. They come in, they run a town,
and then
sell all the foam fingers, and then they fuck off.
And
GPW is about returning business. It's about those families coming back next time.
The thing is, as well, with MegaSlam, is none of the kids know any of the wrestlers' names.
Yeah,
they all chant Mega Slam. They couldn't give a shit who's on. You put any fucker in trunks. They could put me in trunks and it'd be a bad sight, but they'd just chant.
I think the reaction would be different.
GPW make fans, that's what they do. They make wrestling fans.
Definitely, watch the kids, and the kids like really care about these guys getting there.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's so great to see like about two or three rows of kids just going mad for everything.
Yeah,
packed as well. And it'll be the same like next time. And if you hit on a perfect thing doing these Sunday afternoon shows, like the Friday night, Saturday night or whatever shows probably ran their course. Sunday afternoon's a perfect slot.
I miss karaoke in this place. On Friday night.
But what a great Sunday afternoon out it is.
Yeah, it is. Just final thoughts. I think Benno's fucking elaborated on a lot of stuff.
As always.
Just quick ones. Carl?
First show back in years. Really enjoyed it. I want to go see another GPW show now, so they did a really good job.
Good to see you again, anyway.
Always good to see you, Andy, and everyone else here. Really enjoyed today. Great show. We'll be back.
Add story at the end.
There you go. Carrie's story. That's what it's all about.
That
should be the new one. Yeah.
Dave, you've travelled up from London anyway.
And as I said at the top of the show, like this for me, it's been 15 years in the making. It's worth every minute of it, quite frankly. you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it, to be honest with you. And like later in the year, I mean, 100% I want to get to another GPW show. It's just, you know, the atmosphere's there, and it's just, it's family-friendly wrestling without insulting your intelligence as well. So it's, it kind of like gravitates to kids as well, but also to adults. You know, perfect.
Whatever that was, I didn't hear it. So don't pass on.
Okay, now.
Blame it on the dog.
Who dropped the rats on you then? Oh, fucking hell.
Ewan. I dropped one of the resistance gallery like 5 years ago. I think four people.
Well, thankfully, the show wasn't a wet fart. But no, I had a really good time out this afternoon. I do want to come back to GPW at some point. Definitely watch the RPD victory. I really like it. I just thought it was a really, really fun afternoon out.
I can't go to these two anyway.
It wasn't fucking me.
It wasn't you for a change.
I was sat in the corner and all that. It wasn't me.
You enjoy your afternoon anyway, Jim?
I did. I thought the first half was better than the second half. I can understand the storyline of where it's going at the end. Can't wait to see it again. That's what GPW does. It just—it's not just match for match for the sake of matches. There's actual consequence. It makes you want to come back again.
Yeah.
And that's what grabs you in. And I think possibly it's my favourite promotion.
Ben, the final words. Cheers for the write-ups anyway.
It's matches that matter, characters that matter. You want to see these people fight each other for the reasons they set up on these shows. These are great shows. Why would we come to like this small town in Lancashire otherwise?
Yeah,
this really,
very good point.
They run four times a year, and I'll make sure I'm here every time.
And Ben is only crying A, because he won the raffle, and B, because he's just shit his
pants. Correct. there you go. That's the end of the show. My thoughts. It was an alright show, but it weren't an outstanding show, but there was stuff there which you can get your teeth into, and I love that with wrestling.
Can I say as well, you mentioned the pubs you went to, what a corporate pub we're in right now.
The Eddington Arms, just so improved since I've first ever come in here, and
it's been literally
it's been about, I think, about 7 years, 8 years since coming in here first, and
done it up.
For me, they've really done a great job with this. Joey Alts as well. When you get a great pint of Joey Alts, it's one of the best beers. But when you get a bad pint of Joey Alts, put me, you're spending a day on the crapper.
Yes! He still got it!
Hey, Andrew, on this note, Andrew, I just said, is it brought to tears by a brick from fucking PCW?
He's still got the brick! Oh, my word.
Fucking ending.
Yeah.
That's it, lad.
Thanks, everyone, for being on. You follow this podcast at GCP. Podcast 1, follow me, Augie Part 3. I'm not going round everyone.
Patreon.com/grapple, YouTube.
Patreon.com/grapple. They've just been doing a fucking wrestling philosophy thing for 2 hours, which is out on the Patreon. Yeah. Good £10.49 if you subscribe.
You're doing more promotions.
No, £10.49. I always like that. I always pray.
Well, Matty gets 75% of that, so.
Fucking hell. It's called direct debit. And also, I would like to plug. If you want a thing to go to, do the Transpennine Real Ale Trail.
Oh, yeah. You should do that as a Christmas.
I will say, the Christmas do, for the Grapple Christmas do, should be the Kelham Island place in Sheffield for a big wander around.
We've got a few in the app now, we'll decide. We'll put it to a patron.
The problem is, Matty, if you put it to a vault, Britain always disappoints. but Transpennine Real Ale Trail, Jeff, and just what a thing to do, Jeff.
It was nice to see people falling off a cliff and it wasn't us for a change.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you know.
Just go and do that. Some cracking pubs to go and visit. Thanks, everyone.
Good night all.
Good night all.
Farewell.
Cheers.
Au revoir, that's French.
Patreon.com/grapple. Thank you. Bye.
Another bad dream.